Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Darby Allin gets a win, Camille debuts, and Bryan Danielson's career is on the line. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce and a clean-shaven Jimmy Corderas. Yeah. Are you shaving yourself down?
Yeah, I'm shaving myself down. You know, I'm Greek, so I have the hairy curse, so I have to keep on top of things.
I thought it was so it wouldn't hurt if you headbutt somebody.
Yeah.
So we got a big, big show tonight. Lots of stuff to cover. Flobo, you're back again. I thought you were leaving us.
Man, I'm here all week. I got NXT, I got Dynamite, I have SmackDown and SummerSlam this week. It's gonna be nuts.
Yeah, George Hermosa, who's supposed to be here, but he's being lazy, isn't here. He's going to be here on SummerSlam Saturday to cover the show with you. And I'm excited to see that show, but also I'm excited to see you guys break it down. Now, this is an AEW after show. We're going to talk all about Dynamite, but we got to sell some seats for the SummerSlam show. Flobo, but ahead of SummerSlam, I know that SummerSlam is your absolute favorite event of the year.
Yeah.
Has been since you were a child. How do you feel this year shaping up?
You know what? I was kind of not feeling it until about a couple days ago when Raw did the match card rundown with all the graphics and Jelly Roll and the soundtrack. I was like, you know what? Sign me up, Cleveland. Let's do this.
Cleveland and Jelly Roll is what really sold me on SummerSlam as well. Personally, look, it's summer. Why are they in Cleveland? I'm sorry, Cleveland. I'm not even sorry, Cleveland.
Summer's in Cleveland.
Go to a summery break place, not a Cleveland.
They were in Nashville 2 years ago.
I know I'm going to get Nashville? Even more heat. No, I'm going to get more heat for this, but there's a reason why it's nicknamed the Mistake by the Lake.
That's an anti-American propaganda.
Nope.
Shots fired. Listen, I agree. Cleveland, I mean, look, that's a great place for some of the other events, but summer should be in a summery place. But we got
I guess if it's good enough for Drew Carey, it's good enough for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I was in Detroit last week. That's a summery place.
Is Drew Carey our measuring stick these
He's
days?
A Hall of Famer.
Is Drew Carey our measuring stick these days?
Fair enough.
Okay, we'll say Miz then. How's that? Miz is from Cleveland.
Is Miz the measuring stick these days?
Well, what's the measuring stick?
after Monday night's Larry David explosion, yes, it is now.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I promise we're going to talk about AEW, but we have some WWE-esque news that happened here on around AEW, I should say. WrestleTalk published a photo of Shane McMahon meeting with Tony Khan. And Jimmy, there have been rumors abuzz about whether or not Shane McMahon could partner, team up, join, however you want to say it, with AEW. At the very least, they're chatting. What do you make of all this?
I don't know what to make of it yet. I mean, it's a fascinating proposition if Shane McMahon were to agree to terms and come into AEW in some form or fashion, whether it's a behind-the-scenes role, on-screen role would be fantastic. Can you imagine the internet would explode with Shane McMahon showing up on AEW television? But I just find the timing interesting because rumors have been flying for a little while now about Shane McMahon and the possibility of him joining AEW. And this double secret meeting at the Dallas airport that mysteriously found its way online, was it by accident? Did somebody stooge it off? It almost feels like this was done on purpose.
I will say that from what I saw reported is that it was not done on purpose, but Flobo, I feel like right away, Tony Khan's got to know who leaked it. The guy who took the picture or girl who took the picture, who took the picture like that. That's who's in trouble here. They showed it to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's someone going to be like, don't tag me on socials, bro. I mean, come on. Look, I do think it was not staged, but I think it was kind of a thing where it's like, I don't mind it. I think the talks from the back end. I don't think Shane McMahon's going to show up. I think it's more of a business deal. So why not leak the photo?
Joey Image says, would be interesting if nothing happens and the pic was leaked just to create buzz. I don't know if that really helps in any way. I don't know if this gets them enough buzz to really do anything. But
not a sustainable one anyways.
I mean, I don't know what kind of, outside of a couple of retweets of something that isn't even their brand, like it's not even their company that retweeted it. So, yeah, WrestleTalk maybe got some buzz out of it, but I don't think AEW or WWE got any real buzz from this. But I will say, I don't know what capacity they would be working together in. I always say the spicy thing is when people jump ship. And so a McMahon joining AEW would be very, very spicy. Again, I don't know what capacity. I don't know what he would be doing there, but it would be a very fascinating thing to see a McMahon on AEW television, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've met them before. You've met Shane McMahon before. Yeah. Is this a lot of people are thinking, look, he's a McMahon. He can't leave WWE. He can't do this. Is this a possibility from what you know of him? Is this something he would do?
I think it's a definite possibility because this is a business and Shane McMahon is a businessman and the WWE used to be the property of the McMahons. It is no longer the property of any McMahons. It is a publicly traded corporate entity now. So for him to join another company is not out of the realm of possibility because, you know, the old adage, never say never in pro wrestling. Anything can happen. And if anything can happen, then Shane McMahon could definitely show up on AEW television and just shock the world. And in what capacity? I mean, we could fantasy book this thing till next Tuesday. I mean, you know, what? Look at the possibilities. Hostile takeover by a McMahon or something like this. Or he brings in a whole slew of ex-WWE guys to face the AEW and you've got your own kind of Survivor Series kind of deal happening there. The possibilities are endless and create a lot of buzz. And you need a name value to add it to it. And what bigger name out there than Shane McMahon?
I do love the idea of Shane McMahon being like leading a group. I think the reality is him kind of like what they did with ECW and WCW, where a lot of the people who are already talent at WWE joined the Revolution, I think they were calling it, or I can't remember what they called the combined group, off the top of my head, but I could definitely see something like that happening, Flobo. But it's weird because the people who technically represent AEW, the elite, are are bad guys right now. So it's kind of a weird spot they're in. I want to give you, you have the pin, Flobo. I'm putting it in your hands. AEW, let's say they sign Shane McMahon. How would you want him used? Would you want him to be just backstage, maybe help with production? Would you want him to help with stories? Would you want him to be a character on TV? What kind of character would you like to see? How would you use him? You signed him. You gave him a ton of money. Now, how are you utilizing?
There's only one way you would use Shane McMahon properly, and it's not on camera, at least in my opinion. If it was my company, if I was Tony Khan, Shane McMahon, when he left the company the first time, WWE, he went overseas to learn how to build up packages and TV deals for other companies. That's what you bring Shane McMahon for. Someone to go to Turkey and to go to China and to go to Japan to see if you can secure TV rights and more deals. I think that's why it's there, if I had to speculate.
Jimmy, do you think you got to put him on TV if you have a McMahon in the house?
If you got him in the house, I think you have to. You got to do something to spark the audience and get them back in front of their televisions, because they are in a little bit of a rut. Let's be honest. They're starting to gain a little bit of momentum now, which is a good sign. But, hey, never be satisfied with what you did yesterday. You know, strive to be more and do better the next time you're out. So I don't see why not. You don't have to have him on every week, but the fact that he's there, it does spark an interest. So,
Stephen Camp says Shane as a GM. I do think if you were, you got to have him on TV at least a little bit. I think Flobo's on the right path of like the what he'd really do is be someone who helps along with the production things. But you got to do, if you have him there, you got to put him on TV at some point. I actually do think him stepping in as a general manager, not as someone who's on TV every week, but similar to how I always say William Regal was on NXT, where not on all the time, but every now and again came out, said something, did something, made something official, whatever the case is. But I do like, because he is someone that if you wanted to give him a character and have him play sides a bit, you could always have him be motivated by money. You could have him be motivated by good fights, whatever you could have. He has enough motivations that he could be more than just a, I always support the bad guy, I always support the good guy. I think he could be very versatile there, but I wouldn't want to see him every single week. I think that would get old very quickly.
Just throwing it out there, would you be interested? Do you think it would be a good idea? Obviously, you don't want to mention the other team because that draws more attention to them. But if you were to be some sort of he is upset with the fact that he is no longer a part of the WWE and feels like he was shut out, and he's there to prove them wrong and show that he can run a company bigger and better than them. Because sometimes the best stories are based on reality. I'm not saying that's the real reason, but that he's not there, but you can always play it that way.
Yeah. I mean, something there. I think there's something there. Beard Money, I think, with the right answer, can we get some Collision Underground? I mean, that's what we want to see
at 2 p.m. Pacific every Saturday now. Like,
yeah. that's what we all want to see. Collision Underground. I'm here for it. Bang the gavel. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Quick shout out to my buddy there, Joey Image. The Alliance. Is that the name you're looking for?
The Alliance? Yes, the Alliance. That's okay. What I was looking for.
I saw him flash through there.
Yes, the Alliance is what I was looking for. Yeah, Revolution was the four guys who ended up leaving and becoming the Radicals, WCW mm-hmm. guys, right. As a late period WCW fan.
Historian.
Historian. We have some contract question marks at AEW. Daniel Garcia's contract is reportedly coming up very soon, as well as Rey Fénix's. Flobo, both guys, at this moment, are not necessarily a sure thing. And Brian Alvarez was thinking maybe the reason Daniel Garcia was taken off of TV is because they don't know which way he's going to go yet, but they want to give him the option to come back into a pretty cush situation feuding with MJF.
Yeah, I mean, these are guys that if I were them, I'll wait to see what AEW wants to do with me first. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, I'm a free agent now and travel the world. I mean, being on TV would help only raise the profiles. But at the same time, with all this roster bloat and MJF can't feud with everybody at once, you may be stuck on the back burner. So it's a gut check time for both of them, especially Fénix, about what they want to do. But I mean, I'm at the point in my life, I'll take the money. Why not?
Yeah, it's this is where it gets really tricky, Jimmy, because a lot of people, this is where I say they kind of spend other people's money. They look at other people's careers and they sort of assume a lot of things. I think this is a very tough call for both of them because I have a feeling Phoenix is going to make more money at AEW than any of his other options. I could be wrong. That's just my guess. That said, probably going to continue to be someone who isn't necessarily heavily utilized. Again, I'm just guessing. And Daniel Garcia, I think it's very easy to say, if you're an AEW fan, stick with AEW, have a program with MJF, become a big star. It's also very easy to say, go to NXT and suddenly main event WrestleMania. But in both of those cases, it's not necessarily a guaranteed thing. Both companies wildly stacked with talent already.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing is a done deal. And they have to figure out what they want in their careers. Do they want to stay? Like you said, there's only so much room in AEW. They've got so many talents under contract and only a limited amount of TV time for everybody. They can't. It's impossible to get everybody enough TV time, especially right now. Yes, they have their ROH brand. They have some other stuff on at their streaming services. But as far as television, that's where you get your most exposure to wrestling fans. Yes, the hardcores will stream everything. Mm-hmm. You can't stop them from doing that. And we talk about options now outside of AEW and WWE have never been better than they are right now when you can explore the indies and actually basically write your own ticket. Mm-hmm. And, make the appearances when you want for your price and sell your merchandise and do all that. It works for a lot of guys, but it's not going to work for everybody. So, you have to weigh your options. And someone like a Daniel Garcia, who is a talented individual, does he want to wait for that spot next with MJF whenever that happens down the line? And sometimes when you wait a long time, something they have planned for you gets forgotten. Happens all the time. Right. I've seen it last minute where the paper gets torn up right there in Gorilla and they say, nope, we're not doing this right now. But it's up to them. It's their own decisions. Phoenix, also a very talented individual. I'm not concerned with them finding work. It's just a matter of where they want to end up and for the right price for them.
Yeah. Flobo, I guess on this, this is a situation where I would hate to be in this spot because nothing is guaranteed no matter what anyone tells you in this world, unless you're like Hulk Hogan and you get the creative control, brother. But again, I think both sides sound on paper really great. You can both of them sound good. And I feel like no matter what happens, he's going to end up second guessing. This is a tough situation for someone like Daniel Garcia. And I lean into Daniel Garcia because there's really more news on him as far as like what information we have. Phoenix, it just says his contract is up soon. That's about it. Where Garcia, they clearly have a story for him and they're clearly saying, we want you. But yeah, I don't know. This is tough, man. I don't know this is a tough call.
If you're Danny Garcia, if I was Danny Garcia, I mean, you had these stories before where you're in the main event. It wasn't like they're promising you a chance. You've gotten chances. You've seen what creative looks like. If you want to, you may have to bet on yourself and go elsewhere. But at the same time, though, you're still young enough to say, look, I can stack my paper with a semi-regular gig and build my presence online that way. The rules have changed so like fluidly, you can go either way.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope you make the right decision, Daniel Garcia. Like I said, I feel like the people who are watching on are going to say he should go to insert whatever company they personally prefer. But as just from a business, trying to think of it as a real job standpoint, yikes, this is tough call. But I'm rooting for you. I've always said I'm a big Daniel Garcia fan. I think he's going to be a massive star someday. So I hope it works out one way or the other for him. Speaking of MJF, he has a match announced. It's going to be a champion versus championship match at Rev Pro against Michael Oku. Jimmy Corderas, Michael Oku. I don't know if you've seen his stuff. He is very talented. Very talented individual. And I've had the honor of calling a couple of his matches, ring announced one of his matches. And funny enough, I'm throwing to you because Mike Loku and I happened to be staying at the same hotel WrestleMania weekend, which was right across the street from you.
But, oh, wow.
So funny, funny little coincidence there. America's championship getting defended overseas. Does that make America a world champion?
No, I don't think it makes it a world champion. But as far as Michael Loku goes, I met him here in Toronto at a local show here just recently. Really nice guy, really, you know, pleasant guy, nice guy to get to know. Obviously, you know, because you've met him. Mm-hmm. But he very talented. I wasn't familiar with his work until I watched that show here in Toronto. And I said, you know what? This guy can go. Yeah. And we already know that MJF can do many different styles and work with many different people. I think they're going to have a heck of a match. It's just curious to see because they were playing it off as if MJF is still champion when this match comes off. And Michael Oku's title is not on the line during this match, but MJF's will be. And if he isn't champion at the time, they're still going to have the match anyway. So it's kind of like, it's a little confusing there, but still you have a presence like MJF going over there. That's a big deal. And it's a big feather in their cap. And it's only good for Michael Oku to be seen just to be in the same ring with an MJF because he's got that much star power and get some eyes on him. Sorry, I keep cutting you off, but eyes on Michael Oku too, as well.
I just wanted to say that I agree with you in that. I think that it really shows it's a real vote of confidence for Michael Oku also, because MJF probably gets to choose whoever he wants to, have a match with at this point. And going across the ocean to have a match with somebody is, it's not like, hey, I was in town anyways. Like, this is a pretty big deal. And I think it shows that MJF and probably AEW really have their eyes on Michael Oku. But Michael Oku, like you said, Jimmy, just a really good dude. Like, I'm really rooting for him personally. If anyone hasn't seen him yet, go seek out his stuff. Rev Pro, Flobo, Michael Oku, a UK wrestler. So that means you got to love him, because I know you, like myself, I'm a big fan of the UK wrestling scene.
Favorite style ever, the UK style. And MJF is somebody, well, you'll know that I am a hater of MJF, but the fact he's able to put his title on the line, or at least compete across the world, be international with it, shows you're willing to work on the crowd. So I have to respect that. So it's going to be a banger, my friend.
Danny Cochran says, all right, Jack, between you and Jimmy, who was the better hotel? We literally had this conversation. Jimmy Corderas had my hotel beat by a good mile, I think. I was not a fan of my hotel, to be totally honest with you. Not super happy with it, but it worked. You know, I was able to sleep there.
I'll take your word for it.
Able to sleep at a hotel? What happened, Jack? Did you qualify to sleep? What?
No, it just wasn't a lot of stuff that I liked about it. I mean, it's fine. Yeah, you could sleep. It felt like a lot of stuff didn't work in the room. There was no food I could get to. Wasn't happy about it.
See, the food is the important thing. You gotta have access to food.
I'm telling you, I spent a lot of money on DoorDash. But we have a really great show to talk about. And before we do, as always, I want to give a shout out to everyone in the chat, like J.R. Smith, Laura Rock, Jose Topete. I'm sure I say that wrong every time, Jose. I apologize. But Stephen Camp and Joey Image, Tommy O, John Johnson lurking, Einstein Rap, Adonde, Leonard and Russell and Fernando and Daniel and Danny and Maria and Stalking You and Goodfella and Brianne and Armando and Burner and David and Manson and Goodfella. I think I got everybody.
Too sweet.
If I didn't, I'm sorry, man. What else do you want from me? I named like 60 people. Blue Chew. I missed you, Blue Chew. I got you, though. Thank you guys so much for joining us. If you're lurking, always appreciated. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Always appreciate it. A 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And I actually gotta say, you guys, we had a review correction on Apple Podcasts. Someone came back and they said, you know what, I gave this a 1-star review, I'm changing it to a 4-star review. Now listen,
wait a minute,
I want 5-star reviews, but I'm gonna give credit I'm going to give credit because they said, listen, they gave us our flowers for getting better, being more fun. They're enjoying it more. And it would be very hypocritical of me to be upset that someone critiqued us when literally all we do is critique.
I said, go for it. 6 stars, y'all. 6.
Who do you think you are giving me a 4-star review? Appreciate it. Hopefully we get you to a 5. And if you guys are in the chat and you're hearing this, why don't you go over to Apple Podcasts real quick? Just throw in a 5-star review. Leave a nice little comment so I can see you. I'll shout you out. I'll read it to you, too, on the air. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about this show. I enjoyed it. It was chaos. It was violence. And that's my kind of show. We start with America's champion coming out adorned in the colors of our great nation, MJF. He talks some smack before Ospreay chases him off and says that MJF isn't worthy of being an international champion. So MJF brings out Lance Archer. And it's a classic bruiser of a matchup, showing how tough the good guy is. After the battle, Will Ospreay gets the win. After the battle, MJF attacks. Before MJF can do too much damage, Kyle Fletcher runs out, chases off MJF, cuts a promo, and we'll get Fletcher versus MJF next week for the championship. America's championship. A lot of stuff happened here to kick off the show. As I say, I like chaos and anarchy. Flobo, your thoughts on America's champion, and be careful if you say anything negative about MJF, you're saying something negative about America.
during the Olympics. I can't possibly.
I'm gonna keep my saluting hand up.
This one here is my saluting. You know what? I love the troll job. I'm not really sure if I like the idea of changing it to the American Championship, but that title design looks pretty nice, though. I can't lie. So I'm kind of torn when it comes to that. Ospreay's a people's champ. That's also good. But look, man, that Murder Hawk hasn't really murdered anybody in 18 months. I was like, MJF, what are you doing? You have a whole locker room of guys. Lance Archer, really? Come on.
He's just there to soften him up, not there to win. But I agree with you. I'm a Lance Archer fan, but he's gotten to a point where I don't remember the last time he won a match in a big way. I mean, I think he's won some Ring of Honor matches or maybe on like Rampage, but like not in these big spots. I think that's kind of the role though here, Jimmy, for someone like Lance Archer. I want you to talk about this, but also I know Flobo doesn't want to give Maxwell Jacob America Friedman his flowers, but I feel like during these promos, the crowd was about to turn on Ospreay because he was talking anti-America adjacent. Here, you know, if I said, you know, you're the American champion because you're not good enough to be the international champion. Us Americans, we don't take kindly to that kind of stuff. But MJF, he turned him. He was like,
I'm American too, Jack, by the way. What the hell are you doing?
Could have fooled me with your MJF slander.
What's going on?
But Jimmy, I thought MJF did a good job of like, you're fans of Will Ospreay, right? And it kind of righted the ship. I thought that MJF, we know he's great, but I thought he did a great job here.
No, he's been doing a great job of getting the reaction, the desired reaction that a heel wants to get. He's playing right into that role perfectly, sending kind of a mixed message, like you said, and then just sucking them back in and getting them, oh, you had me, you SOB. And, you know, Will coming out and cutting his promo, again, same sort of thing. I agree with you, Jack. It felt like, oh, boy, you tread lightly there, Will, because, you know, you're hugely over with the audience. You're their big baby face right now. So be careful where you step, because that could turn into, all it takes is one wrong sentence, one wrong phrasing, and boy, they turn on you quick.
Yeah, because they started chanting USA at him, and I was like, just don't bring up America, man. We're weird here in the United States.
But I agree with you with Lance Archer. That's the only issue I had with this match, really, that it was Lance Archer. The match was fine. I enjoyed the match. Told a good story. Will fighting from underneath, the sympathetic baby face fighting from underneath. But it, like you said, a lot going on afterwards. They have a tendency to try and pack too much after a match and not let things sit in and absorb. And the other thing, too, is after all the stuff we got with the interference from afterwards from MJF and then Kyle Fletcher coming out and making the save and cutting his promo, good stuff. But then we go right to the next thing. We go to the video package and go to break, man. And again, little production things that I have issues with. During a spot where Will was going to the top rope and then Archer snagged him by the throat, and then they're talking about the match coming up next week in the lower third of the corner. They're showing the graphic of a match coming up later or next week while this big move is going on, forgetting all about the fact that he just chokeslammed him off the top rope.
Yeah, when something big like that happens, you got to talk about that big moment. But Flobo, I saw you were about to say something.
I was like, well, I mean, you're absolutely right, and I think you nailed it on the head. But then again, you are anti-American as well. So I don't know, Jimmy.
don't try. Don't try to sway Jimmy Corderas to your anti-American ways.
Please. Wait a minute.
But Flobo, I want to talk to you about Kyle Fletcher's promo. I thought that, one, his haircut's changing, so he's looking different than Will Ospreay a little bit more.
Wasn't in my notes, but
yes. Manston Chad says, you realize, Jack, Kyle Fletcher's changing his look lately, like you said. I have a feeling Kyle Fletcher's a big fan of the show. Why don't you come on the show, Kyle Fletcher?
Cutting promos now, too?
But I really enjoyed Kyle Fletcher's promo. I thought he did a great job of getting fired up, explaining why he's there, wanting the match with MJF. I thought Kyle Fletcher handled himself very well here.
Yeah, a little long for my personal taste, but good. Hit the points and said, look, I'm you're essentially the henchman, right? But you're not going to be a pushover. The match is something I've been sold on. So, yeah, I want to see it and his new haircut up close on Dynamite next week.
That's what you want to see is his haircut up close.
I was trying to tie things back. I got lost. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all good, man. But, yeah, I did think this was good. It does kind of effectively render the Don Callis family even more pointless at this point, though. Terry Allen Jr. with a super chat. Flobo, explain your journey joining Wrestling Inc.
They wanted someone else for All In last year, and I said, I'll do it. And that was it. Oh, sorry. And Jack got me the job, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's right.
Enjoy, brother.
And there's more to that story. You should follow at Flobo Boyce, and you can stay on top of all that kind of all that stuff that he's working on. Something that I think has really been working, and Flobo, I think, would agree, Jimmy, you as well, is the learning tree. It's 102 days of being the FTW champion. 100 is big, but 102, as the Redwood says, is just incredible. They have some tasty cake, and next week it's Shibata versus Brian Keith. Jimmy, any takeaways from this one?
No, standard Jericho. I've got to get my TV time in. Hi, hi. The line, though, that I liked was, you know, usually these cakes end up in somebody's faces, not tonight. I would have liked a little pratfall where at least it fell on the floor. Didn't land in somebody's face, and Jericho gets hot because it's on the floor or something along those lines. But it was, you know, the standard fare for him every week.
Wait, hold on. The kick did jobs. You're taking out the scene. Wait a minute. The kick went over. I'm sorry. I liked the scene. I liked it. I liked it.
Could be worse. He could have been fruit nibbling. So,
what in the world?
That's a callback to Monday. Fruit nibblings. If you guys want to know what that's all about, you gotta check out our conversation on Carlito on Monday. But Flobo, you know what's funny? I enjoyed this, but Jimmy does make a point. This is definitely a nitpick thing for me, but yeah, I feel like they could have added a comedy beat at the very end that was missed there instead of just, oh, it's tasty. Like,
I think someone thought about that and was like, Marvez, do that, and that's it. They're like, oh, when's lunch? But you're absolutely right. It could have been punched up a bit more, but that was your comedy beat. It was the, oh, wow, funny-looking face guy next scene over.
Like, I feel like the perfect thing would have been him slipping and falling into the cake.
I mean, to Jimmy's point, that would work, but I think it's kind of funny. That's what you guys are fired up about. What happened to the cake? It's like not even.
Exactly. They made a big deal of the cake. Something should have happened to the cake. Like he goes to walk away with it and accidentally gets tripped by Alex Marvez. Jericho gets hot and makes Alex Marvez eat the cake, even though it fell on the floor.
There's an old, what is that, riding?
Chekhov's
gun. Yeah. If you're going to mention the gun, the gun's got to go off. If you're going to mention the cake, someone's got to go face first in the cake.
I just imagine you guys like getting up out of the living room and be like, oh, for the love of Pete. And just get upset. Just walk out. The cake.
Tony Khan, I know you're watching this show. I want to know what happened with the cake after it went off air. I want answers. Next Dynamite, tell me what happened with the cake. I want the cake back next week in a sit-down interview with Renee Paquette to answer these questions, okay?
If my theory is that it's supposed to be a reference to Monet cakes. Every time she won a title, she got a cake. That's his cake for winning the 102 days. That's supposed to be the humor, but that was missed.
Oh, yeah. They definitely would have needed to have talked about that if that was the case. Listen. Maybe he could have even just been like, ugh, this is like, and said like, ugh, apple cake or something. I don't know. Some fruit cake, I guess, something. I'm just nitpicking, but now it's funny because how absurd it is that we're mad about a cake.
Yeah, you are.
But it worked because look how much we're talking about the damn cake.
In the chat, let me know what kind of cake it was in your opinion. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale have a match. It's a CMLL Eliminator matchup. Old rivals go at it. Comes down to Statlander using the chain and getting the win. She attacks Willow after the match, and now Statlander gets a title shot because she won the match, not because she attacked afterwards with the chain. Flobo, this is a great rivalry between two people who have a lot of history. Starting to feel like it needs another story beat, though.
Absolutely. I thought it was done. I thought it was over. And I know it's a new title, so technically it's a different chapter, but I do think we've been here before. And it's a shame because both Willow and Chris Statlander are good dance partners, but I want something else.
Jimmy, what do you have any takeaways from this one?
Other than, of course, the ending didn't work for me. It fell kind of flat because the distraction always takes too long. And when it takes too long, it just it doesn't work. I'm sorry, yeah. It doesn't work. When a heel cheats to win, it's got to happen quick and fast. And having the referee stand in the corner for 30 seconds while you're trying to get the chain in the right position to use it behind the referee's back. I mean, it just, again, it's one of those. Yes, I nitpick about the those little things with the referee distractions and enforcing rules, but I can't help but unsee. I can't unsee those things. They're glaring for me. But the match, again, the match was fine. There's nothing wrong with the match. I wish they would have come up with something different for the finish.
It felt like something was supposed to happen when Willow was grabbing Stokely also, because she was like doing that for a really long time. And then like nothing happened. And then she turned around and she got hit. But it felt like she was waiting for something to happen, and it didn't happen. I like this whole thing. I feel like I've seen Statlander get the chain and use it on Willow specifically, or try to use it. I feel like I've seen this situation multiple times now. And I'm ready for them to both go their separate ways. I don't really understand what more we need to get out of this, but we are going to get at least one more match for the CMLL championship between them. So this was probably the biggest moment of the night in many ways. Bryan Danielson comes out and says that his full-time contract ends tomorrow, but he's going to give everything to win the title at All In. Swerve comes out and says, "You liked kicking heads until they started kicking back. And the title isn't an achievement award. It's for who the best is." Danielson says if Swerve can beat him, he'll never wrestle again. This is on top of a Fightful Select report that Danielson is sort of dealing with some injury issues, and that AEW doctors have put restrictions on Danielson leading into the show, with said restrictions preventing Danielson from participating in angles or matches he had planned previously. Regardless, while Danielson is banged up, it was noted Danielson has long been planned to be at the Wembley main event, and it appears there was never consideration of removing him from the spot. Though later he does say he's going to have a match with Jeff Jarrett next week, so we'll see where that is. Jimmy, this was, in my opinion, a fantastic promo that sold me a ticket. How do you feel about it?
I love the promo. I love what Daniel Bryan had to say. I love what Swerve came out and basically was heel. If I'm not, he was, clearly, if you want to divide lines and who the babyface was and who the heel was, all the deliveries that he had and all the shots he took at Bryan Danielson, I almost did it again. Bryan Danielson was classic heel. All the jabs he took, all that stuff, but the one thing that confused me, though, is he mentioned that his contract expires tomorrow. He promised his 7-year-old daughter that he was going to quit wrestling. He promised his family that he's not going to sign another wrestling contract again. Yet he puts his career on the line at Wembley, even though he basically stated that his career is pretty much done.
Well,
that kind of threw me off a little bit. Yeah, you can manipulate and say, yes, if he does win the title, then he can continue until he finally loses that title. But, it just made me think, okay, explain that to me and say that, look, if I do win the championship, which I plan on doing at Wembley, I will continue to defend this title. That wasn't ever stated.
So my takeaway from it was, and Joey Image said this part was weird by Danielson. My takeaway from it was that he wasn't wrestling full time and that he'd still do sporadic dates going forward. But if he loses, there will be no sporadic dates and that he will be done, and that will be his last match.
Right.
So, Flobo, do you agree that was weird? Do you think it's clear? Am I wrong in my assumption? Because at the end of the day, I guess it is technically an assumption. And do you like that he put the career on the line from a story beat standpoint?
Streak versus career will always streak versus career. Wow. Career versus title. See that? Streak versus career from 1.6. Career versus title will always work. And I'm on board with that. And that's a stipulation that you can go either way. I'm with Jimmy though. It did seem weird where it's like, it expires tomorrow, but 3 weeks from now, I get a title match. To me, sounds like you have to extend your contract, which is another contract, which defeats the purpose of what you said. But I'm willing to put that aside because the match on the docket is that big. You got the world champ. You got someone that everyone loves, generational talent. He could have bumbled through that promo and it still would have sold. So I'm okay with it after all.
I
have a question for both of you now, because the discussion came up for Saturday's pay-per-view. This is another discussion a little early for All In. Which match closes the show? Is it Bryan Danielson and Swerve, or is it MJF and Will?
Oh, it's got to be Swerve and Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. Well, we would hope.
It's got to be.
It's the world champion, one. And two, if Bryan Danielson loses, it's the thank you, Bryan, or Danielson. I don't know.
Yeah, or it's, I mean, that's what I said. That's what's great about it is I feel like no matter what happens, it's a historic moment. Either we get a new champion, Bryan Danielson, that's huge, or Swerve retires Bryan Danielson and ends his career. That's a big moment one way or the other. And that's why I say it's something that really kind of sells me a ticket, especially this is where good booking pays dividends as you look at Sting. And I see how they sent Sting off and how well they did that. Now it pays dividends because now I think back to how they did that and I go, well, now it's Bryan Danielson's turn. I can't miss this opportunity. This might be my last chance to see Bryan Danielson have a match. You know, it makes the ticket really something that you want to see, or at very least the pay-per-view, something you want to see. I saw some people on Twitter. They were upset. Like, why would he put the title on put it on the line as well, the career and whatnot, since he already had the title match? It sounds cheesy, but it's because he's all in. And I think that's what the story was with Jeff Jarrett. Are you all in? Are you really serious? One foot's out the door. I think now he's saying, look, I'm so all in, I'll risk it. Because you're right. If I can't be all in, then I shouldn't do this anymore. I actually think it works. My last thing here, and Jimmy, I'll throw this to you, is can they sustain this for another few weeks? Because this feels a little bit like they said all there is to say. I don't really know if there's much more for them to say at this point.
Yeah.
I'm curious. 3 weeks out or four. Yeah. I don't know. I can't do math. I'm a podcaster. Oh.
No, I think you're right. It is 4 weeks because August 25th. Yeah, it's probably about 4 weeks out. I'm thinking, give or take a week.
3.5 weeks. 3.5 weeks. Not quite four.
Yeah. Well. So it's still a little ways away, and trying to sustain this momentum is going to be difficult because how much more can you have these interactions in the ring, promos back and forth? We saw it on Monday night where it kind of was, in my opinion, lackluster between Punk and Drew, which was a hot, hot rivalry. You got people amped up for this match too, but you can only jawjack back and forth for so long before you have to do something different. And you can't do it every week because people just get tired of it. Okay, next week, Bryan Daniel has a match against Jeff Jarrett, which I found interesting because Jeff was the one who motivated him, but now he wants to take on the motivator to show how motivated he really is now, or something along those lines. So, which is going to be interesting, especially since Jeff has become a sympathetic character ever since that emotional video we saw of him before the tournament, the Owen Hart tournament. So that is going to be interesting. But how you follow up with him and Swerve going forward, the Swerve go full bore heel on him, it's going to be interesting to see.
I want to take a moment and before we move on and point out that on an AEW after show, Jimmy Corderas talked about how great a promo was on AEW, but then said that a hot promo from the other guys was lackluster. And I want to highlight that so that all the people who keep saying Jimmy's a shill clearly doesn't just shill Jimmy. I mean, let's take a moment and breathe it in, folks. Like,
see? Drink it in, man.
Drink it in.
Well, my check from Stanford hasn't cleared yet. So until then,
it's because he dropped it off with Tony.
Somebody shaved it down and
Oh man.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So we got a match that Joey Image, by the way, said, "What a shill."
Oh, the Gorilla Monsoon impression. Won't you stop?
So Mordos, Roosh, and Roderick Strong take on Orange Cassidy, Ishii, and Mark Briscoe in the what's kind of become the standard mid-show crazy match where a bunch of stuff happens. Jimmy, any thoughts on this one? You're riding high after me putting you over for saying how great AEW is. Now I want you to talk about this one. I feel like this isn't your type of match, but what'd you think?
No, but it's right in the wheelhouse of their audience. They were entertained by it. They had fun with it. You know, obviously I could pick it apart with certain little things as far as rules and adhering to rules and the refereeing and all the stuff that was going on. But it served its purpose. Like you said, it got the audience interested. It got the desired, this is awesome chance, which is what they want to hear. So yeah, it served its purpose. And in that case, you know, fine. But, you know, again, not everything is my cup of tea, you know, and just because it's not my cup of tea doesn't mean it can't be entertaining.
Do you not like six men tags? I'm new here ish. I've been here a year. I'm still new. Do you
I was going to answer for Jimmy, but Jimmy's
right. No, go. No, I just said in six man tags, I don't mind if it breaks down into chaos, but don't start with chaos every time you have a six man tag. They start off with just everybody going hog wild, and then they break it down into actual having to tag in and out before it goes back to what it was. So it's like a rule sandwich. You have no rules on either side as buns, and the rules in between is the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I assumed it wasn't really your wheelhouse. But Flobo, let me know what you think. Also, I want to pitch an idea here. I think Don Callis family, we should just forget it exists. Just pretend it's not there. Don Callis should manage Mortos. And I think really it should be Don Callis does whatever he wants. And whenever someone tries to say something to him, he sicks the bull on him. And Mortos just wrecks people for him. Like Mr. Burns had the hounds. I think that's how it should be, Flobo. What do you think? Am I onto something here? Is this gold?
Absolutely not. You would run AEW to the ground. That's a terrible idea. Why would you do that? I was saying Boo Burns. That's a terrible idea.
Boo Burns.
Oh my goodness. The match itself was pretty solid. I didn't like commentary telling me it was a good match after it was a good match. Kind of like a laugh track in the sitcom. But for what it was entertaining.
Yeah, not a whole lot of stuff to take from this. Clearly, it seems like they're setting up the Mordos versus Briscoe for the Ring of Honor title, I'm guessing, with him getting the pin there. I like Roderick Strong, and his matches are always great. Again, there's probably not a whole lot of stuff to pull from this.
I did notice something at the end, though, that caught me off guard was after the match, and Briscoe was selling by the ropes there, and Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly were there, bent over checking on him. Kyle O'Reilly just started laughing. I could only imagine what Mark Briscoe must have said to him to get him to set him off, but he started laughing. It was almost like he was trying to hide his face.
Yeah.
That bull kicked my ass. That's what, what are the odds?
Because, have you seen that bull? I think he kicks a lot. I like Mortos. I like I like that he's just a big snarly bull. I think that's a fun. I was a big Lucha Underground fan. I feel like he would have fit right in on Lucha Underground. But
classic.
We got an Acclaimed promo. They're looking to fight FTR. So good to see a non-title rivalry brewing. Jimmy, what I noticed something here is every time Max Caster talks, he talks about himself. And this has been for a long time. It wasn't just today, but I've noticed for a long time that he always says, you want to mess with the best wrestler alive himself. He says, you want to mess with the MVP of Blood and Guts. He always talks about you're messing with me individually, But then Anthony Bowens and Billy Gunn, they always say, we are a great team. The Acclaimed are a great team. And this has been going for this is a very long time. This isn't just today. Do you think there's something there, or does Max Caster just try to put himself as the center of attention here?
No, that's very interesting. I really didn't catch that. So, I'm being perfectly honest here. That's a good catch by you there, Jack. And
I get one every now and again.
It's one of those deals where is it intentional or it's just the way he phrases his promos and that's how it is. But I wouldn't mind if it did lead to something. And, you know, maybe down the line, somebody says something like Billy Gunn, who's the senior statesman the elder statesman in their group saying, you know, dude, we're a group here. Stop talking about yourself. You hear your partner say we, you hear me say we, we're a group. It's not all about you or something like that and get something started there because we've had a lot of stops and starts with the Acclaim and they're mildly over. They're not like where they were a while back. So maybe this is something refreshing that they could do to kind of ignite something.
Who is?
Flobo, is the Acclaimed, again, you got the pen. Do you keep that? Do you reheat them up and bring them back to tag team prominence? Or do you blow it up and make Billy Gunn the world champion like I've been calling for 2 years now?
This is why you're the worst booker ever. Stop doing that. Quit it. No, I would reheat them. Not now. I still think they're very valuable as a property. And there really was a time where the few times AEW's crossed over is when football players and baseball players were doing the scissor me thing. There's still some of that there. Maybe a chapter two for the Acclaim, but I wouldn't give up on them.
Could we have them be a tag team and Billy Gunn still be the world champion?
No, Jack, no.
Tell me you don't see Billy Gunn in the ring and think he could wreck everybody in that ring. I've never seen him in the ring and not thought this guy couldn't just kill everybody.
Give him the American Championship, the New Jersey Championship, something. Don't give him the world championship.
Oh, boy. Check, please.
Come back. Take me with you.
Jimmy, Billy Gunn, world champion. In the chat, Billy Gunn, world champion. Are you here for it?
No, I'm not here, there, or anywhere for it.
Exactly.
I love Billy Gunn, but no.
You need to leave, sir.
Billy Gunn, I still believe in you. Joey Image says the New Jersey championship.
Might as well. By the shore.
They got one, Joey?
They might as well.
Stalking US two emojis, so I think that means yes to Billy Gunn as world champion. Einstein of Rap wants to see Billy Gunn versus Okada. As long as the world championship's on
Tokyo
the line.
Tokyo Dome, baby.
7-star Billy Gunn. Let's do it. Mariah May. I'm a big Billy Gunn fan. I'm not even.
I noticed, Jack.
I'm an ass man. Come on. You didn't love us. They should pay $1 billion to get I'm an Ass Man for his theme and have it play. Billy Gunn versus Shane McMahon. Yes, let's do it.
Stop.
Oh man, don't say that. That's mean. Mariah,
died, bro.
Mariah May, she's talking to Renee Paquette, and she says that Tony gave her everything and taught her that this business will eat you alive, but now it's Mariah's time to eat. And Tony says that All In will be the romance of a bloody lifetime. Jimmy, thoughts on that? I thought this was great, but I also felt like we're 4 weeks away and we're already kind of trying to figure out how we're going to use our time.
Yeah. I like what they did last week where they teased the music and, you know, Mariah May was teasing that Toni Storm was coming out and made it look like she wasn't coming out. And she got everybody. I wish they would have done that for a couple of weeks, just every week, keep doing it. And then a week or two before Wembley, have her do it, and then that's when you do what they did last week. I thought that would have been the perfect moment for it. You know, build it up. That being said, I thought Mariah May was very entertaining in her role tonight in her interview with Renee. I thought she had a good visual in the way she presented and what she said, because a lot of times it's not about what you say, but how you say it. Mm-hmm. And I thought the way she said it was very, very in a calm tone. You know, very, very laid back, but still sounding enough, a little bit evil at the same time. I like it.
Flobo, I've got another booking question for you here. You can give me your thoughts here on the whole presentation, and you can also tell me how you changed your mind about Billy Gunn. But what I want to know is,
I did not change my mind.
Let's say something happens to Toni Storm and she decides to change the era, change the decade in which she is a movie icon. Which decade of movies would you like her to start emulating if she could no longer do old Hollywood?
Absolutely. Late 60s, Honey Rider, Dr. No, James Bond.
Ooh, wow.
I thought about this.
You have had this queued up. Jimmy, late 60s. Do you agree?
That's a good one. I do like that. But for me, so, yeah, you're going to laugh at me. Grease is the word. You know what I mean? I could almost
see
a little boardwalk and a little bit of
Grease Lightning.
Yeah, a little Grease Lightning.
Musicals? What the?
I was thinking 80s. She could do like the big hair. She could do the like all the cool looks of the 80s. Come on, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. But I guess we could go with your guys' ideas.
Wooey.
We got Camille makes her debut and destroys Brittany Jade because Britt Baker has been suspended. As of now. And then afterwards, we get a promo from Mercedes, and she says that this is the first signing of the Monet Corporation. Jimmy, are we going to see an actual stable here, or is this just a phrase that Mercedes is throwing around?
I'm hoping it's just a phrase, because there are too many stables right now. There's too many multi-person groups. I like it better if she just keeps Camille as the heater for her. And that's it.
I agree. I'd keep it on the smaller end here. As far as the group, I wouldn't have like a group here. Flobo, one-sided matchup here. Brittany Jade clearly had a rough night. But if this was your first time seeing Camille, if you'd never heard of her before she debuted, and this was the first match you saw of her, did she do enough to get you to say, I want to see more?
Yeah. I'm like, why are you hanging out with this other person that's talking for you? You can beat someone up pretty handedly. Didn't have to say a word. What's your motivation? So to answer your question, absolutely. I was rooting for Brittany Jade so hard. Like, run, girl. Get out of the ring, please. You got a family. Touch your chin. You know? Camille is a machine. It was great.
You don't know that she has a family.
I mean, just say you do. She may let you go.
get out of there. It was the opportunity is always great for people to be there. I know they get beat up, but it is a good opportunity. But there is that part of you that when they first say her name, you're just like, oh no, get out of there.
It's like watching girl, what are you doing?
Like watching a horror movie. Get out of the house. Get out of the brick house.
Oh my gosh.
Joey Image with a great idea says, so Camille should only beat up opponents named Brittany.
Smart, yeah.
That's actually great. I love that. We absolutely should. That should be the case here. We get to the main event. Hangman Adam Page versus Darby Allin. Page beats the paint off of half of Darby's face, but Page plays with his food too long, and Darby sneaks the win. Flobo, I was kind of surprised by this. I thought about it a little bit longer, and I guess I get it. But what are your thoughts on the match and any takeaways from the outcome?
I think Paige needed to win this one. I don't know about you, but the aura of not having his original theme music, something seemed to be a little bit off. I'm not saying in a bad way, but if there was a game rating, he would drop 10 points since his return. But losing to Darby Allin quite like that, you don't really recover from that. Adam Cole had that issue 2 years ago. It took him a long time to get back into being the Adam Cole baby we know and love. And you don't take losses like that against Darby Allin. So yikes.
Jimmy, I agree is in the sense that at first, Paige is hot right now. He's got the new music. He seems mysterious. He's kind of a badass. He's beating the tar out of people. But Darby does have a title match coming up where Adam Page has no match. In fact, Darby has two title matches coming up technically. So he can't just take a loss. But at the same time, I was like, man, I know Page looks strong and I know it was kind of a roll up, but this hurts if you're a Hangman Adam Page fan, and I am.
Yeah, too soon for him to eat a loss, that's for sure. And I get what you're saying, Jack, about Darby Allin having a couple of title matches coming up, so he needs a win. But there's nothing wrong with – there was a moment in the match that made me cringe. You can only imagine what it was with the steel steps. The fallaway slam into the steel steps made me, like, just when you see something like that devastating, I don't have a problem with the referee just jumping out of the ring, checking and waving it off, saying, no, this can't continue anymore. It doesn't do any harm to Darby Allin. Yes, we know he's been hit by a bus. He's jumped off of, like, skyscrapers or whatever the heck he's been doing. You got to stop trying to make him look like an invincible Superman that doesn't die. He's not a comic book villain, a comic book superhero. And that's what they're trying to build him into, that could overcome anything. And him coming back from that and other devastating maneuvers that were done during the match, for me, that's where you lose me. I want to have sympathy for this guy. And every time he bounces back from something like that, I just sit back and go, I see something devastating happen to him. And I go, that's okay, because he's going to come back from it. No big deal. And then you get that finish with the roll-up. There's a time where a roll-up finish works and a time when it doesn't, where it feels like you're just trying to get out of the match. And that's what it felt like to me in this case.
Yeah, we had a chat here from Tutgraph, says some got to win, some got to lose. I don't think Adam Page should be in a situation where he could lose. I get you want to give us a big matchup. I do not like to see Adam Page where Adam Page should be blowing through people. He should be beating people up. He should be indestructible. If you wanted Page to have a match here, he should have faced somebody else, or Darby should have faced somebody else if you wanted him to get the win. I'm usually pretty defensive of AEW. I don't really like this. I don't like this one. I don't like how this ended. I get it, I guess, on paper, again, that Darby won, but it feels like you just took a lot of air out of Adam Page the next time I see him. And he's had the air taken out of him a lot over the past few years with Swerve basically running through him and everyone else. He really shouldn't have lost this match. I disagree. Not a fan. Just not a fan. Can't defend it.
Hater.
You skill.
I better get my WWE shill money.
Can I get some? Is everyone shilling? Can I shill too?
But yeah, I don't know. In the chat, am I wrong? Do you guys think that Darby should have won? Do you agree in the comments? Let me know if you agree that Darby should have got the win here. Or more specifically, that Adam Page should have lost. Because that's the issue to me. It's not that Darby Allin won a match. It's that Adam Page lost. That bothers me here. So let me know what you guys think. That's the show. That does it for us. In the chat overall, let us know what you guys think. I see some people talking about the lights going out. That is a venue issue. That's not an AEW issue.
It was just the ring lights that went out because the seating lights were still on.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. And so that was, but it made people go, oh, they were anticipating something to happen. And yes, sometimes technical difficulties, but it kind of took the audience out of it too, because after the lights came back on, they were waiting for something to happen. They didn't get anything. And it was, you know how it is. It's like, I was expecting some mysterious figure to show up, some super surprise. And we got,
Yeah. Jose with an idea here. Adam Page should have won with help from Jack Perry.
The scapegoat?
I mean, that makes sense, because they have Darby and Jack Perry have a match coming up. So that would make sense. And there's the loose affiliation between Jack Perry and Adam Page. And they could have even had Adam Page mad about it or something. I don't know. Flobo. Thoughts on the show? Where can we'll find you online when you're not busy hosting shows for Wrestling Inc.?
Yeah, show's pretty solid. I know we're kind of a ways out from All In, but I think All In is doing something that All In last year didn't do and say, look, we're going to give you a strong card and sell the venue. I felt last year was kind of like, we're just in England, y'all come through. So this is always a good sign for the brand. So I'm always on that X at Global Boys every Wednesday. Jack Farmer and I, we break down NXT in a show we call Draped in Gold, drapedingold.com. And I'm a member of the Mets Digest family of Mets pundits and reporters. Learn more by hitting Mets Digest on YouTube.
Jimmy, how about yourself? Where can the world find you, and overall thoughts on the show?
I thought it was a fun Dynamite tonight. It was entertaining. There were some spots, obviously, that I thought could use a little tweaking. But aside from that, I think they're still heading in the right direction. But there's still a little bit of work to do, especially from a production standpoint. I wish they would just space out their segments a little better and let the segments that were meaningful breathe a little bit before you head off to the next one. As far as where you can find me, here on Monday nights with Triple J, and here with Double J and Flobo usually, or George.
I think
sometimes.
George comes in. Yeah, I think George is the Wednesday guy.
But, you know, loving doing it. Loving doing the Refing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, our producer who holds all the glue together. Thank you, buddy, for the great job you do. And this week, David Penzer was on. Had a blast talking to him. He's a lot of fun. And on my Ref and Rants that I do from Monday to Friday, every morning on my social media platforms, just little critiques that I think of things that, in my mind, need a little screw tightening. And that's all it is. It's not to bash anybody or anything like that, or it's not meant to be. And there's a couple other little things in the work that I will voice here when they come to fruition and when I'm allowed to speak about them. And that's about it.
Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame. Well, you also have Kevin Kelly going to be on Reffing It Up podcast soon, right?
Yeah, our guest next week is going to be Kevin Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter because I follow you guys like everybody else should. A commentary Smart. Person. I would love to get a peek at how he sets his notes up so I can copy them when I do commentary.
Kevin was responsible for getting me on the Border War show, the ROH Border War show here in Toronto when they had it in, I want to say, 2012.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He gave me a call one day. He says, what are you doing? I said, nothing, just doing broadcasting and stuff like that. He says, feel like donning the stripes one more time? I said, why? What do you got? He says, we're coming through with ROH with Border Wars. And Lance Storm brought your name up. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in.
Storm brought your name up?
Yeah, I worked his match at the Border Wars that year against Storm? Mike Bennett. Yes.
Cheap pop.
Fellow the Canadian, Lance of course.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you guys are like next door neighbors, huh?
Yeah, he's all the way in Calgary, and I'm here in Toronto.
Right down the street.
It's like only a 4.5-hour plane ride. No big deal.
Right next door to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media to see the stuff I'm working on. I'm chatting with Jimmy every Monday and Wednesday here on Wrestling Inc. for WWE Raw and AEW Dynamite. Also, as Flobo mentioned, I'm on Draped in Gold every Wednesday morning. You can check out today's episode. It was a fun one covering Great American Bash. But you can also catch me doing commentary and ring announcing for wrestling companies all across the United States, mostly here in Southern California. But I've gone to other parts of the world, of the country too. Mm-hmm. So you check those out. In fact, I called the LA Rumble. It's available on Fight TV. You should check that out. 30 people enter, one person wins. Who is it? You got to check it out to see, or just look on Twitter. You could do that, but order the show anyways.
Yeah, what the? You oversold it.
That does it for us. We will see you guys next time. Follow That Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news, and be here for our after SmackDown show on Friday and our after SummerSlam show with Flo Bo Boyce and George Hermosa. I'm hitting the end stream button.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.